Thank you for that introduction, Tarun. I'm going to introduce the Simputer project, and I really have two parts to my presentation. The first part, I'll introduce the Simputer design and concept. The second part, I'll introduce to you one implementation of the Simputer. The Simputer really began in 1998, where at the Global Village Seminar in Bangalore, a group of people got together with the objective of building a device that would, one, take computing to the masses, second, be a combination of hardware and software that would essentially be a uniquely local solution for uniquely local needs. Simputer on its own stands for a simple, inexpensive, multilingual people's computer. The primary objectives of the design were, one, we need to have a low-cost portable computing platform that could really go anywhere. It should not be dependent on power. It should work on batteries. Literacy should not be a barrier to its usage. So that's why some of the things that were taken care of were language. And in India, we have 16 written languages. So the idea was that as many languages as possible should be supported. User interface for the device should be based on sight, iconic display. It should be based on text. It should be based on audio. It should include text-to-speech so that the non-literate user can understand what is happening inside the device. April 25th, 2001, marked the launch of the Simputer. It took close to 3 years to really bring that initial design concept into an actual product. The first Simputer basically was designed to be shared. There were cost implications. The initial Simputer cost approximately $200. And it's not as affordable for anybody to really pick up a Simputer. So it was designed to be shared, and that medium of sharing was the smart card, where multiple users could really use the smart card to personalize the Simputer for their needs. It included a simple user interface, mostly graphical, mostly text-based, mostly text-to-speech. The idea was that some applications which are useful for the rural population could be deployed on this device. Okay. Battery-powered, and it was built primarily as an independent device. It should not require a PC to sync to pass information onwards. It should be independent that somebody can just plug in a modem and connect to the network and pass data up to a server somewhere far away. Okay. Inbuilt smart card reader, IR for transfer between devices. The idea is that you have this device that you can take wherever you want to go, use it where a PC typically would not fit the picture, reasons of electricity, power, and audio because of the objective of being able to speak to the user. The Simputer was released on an open hardware license. The design specifications are available to anybody who goes to the website www.simputer.org and downloads the design specification. Okay. There are some caveats to this, to the download. Any derivative that anybody makes using this design must be returned to the trust. Now, it's not that as soon as you make the modification, you have to return it to the trust. With hardware development, there are costs, there are going to be manufacturing issues, and if you wanted to commercialize it, you get a window of 18 months during which the device that you build, you could commercialize it without requiring to return the design to the trust. This was more so that people would take up the platform and commercialize it. Nobody can use the Simputer name unless it has been licensed from the trust. There was also the fact that somebody could take the simulator design and build a completely different device. These devices were called simulatorized devices, something that uses the simulator technology. Commercial exploitation of the specification was encouraged. To push the goals of the trust, there was a one-time fee for anybody who exploited the design commercially. And that had to be paid only at the time of commercializing the technology. What was included in the design package? You had the schematics of the entire design. Bill of materials in case you wanted to take the design as it is to manufacture. Layouts and PCB details, so you would really get going if you chose to manufacture, you would get going in less than 3 or 4 months. And it included a port of GNU Linux. And this was basically what was for a licensee of the simulator. This is what they really got. So that's basically the simulator design and the design concept. Now somebody could really take the design and implement it whichever way that they chose to do it. Okay. An example, somebody could take the design and build a low-cost computer. Somebody could take it and build a more expensive, higher-end device. The idea was that it's an open design. The objectives of the simulator were towards bridging the digital divide. But the option of how you wanted to commercialize it was yours. One example of a licensee, Pico Pita, has chosen to really go the PDA way, where they want to use the simulator platform for productivity applications. The approach, what I'm going to describe right now is the approach that we took at Encore Software. Okay. Pictures here are the modifications to the simulator that we made. The objectives that we set out with the Encore simulator, objective number one, we wanted to make sure that we stick with the core objective of bridging the digital divide. We wanted to make sure that the device was easy to use, support for multiple Indian languages should be in there, and text-to-speech should be a core feature in multiple languages. Just to give an example, while I mentioned 16 languages written, there are actually 832 languages documented. A language that I speak does not have a script. So it's just an example of why text-to-speech is really important for deploying an application to the masses. We wanted to make sure that the design that we had was good to work in field conditions. It should work independent of mains power, independent of PC infrastructure. It's not a PDA. We wanted to make sure that you would be able to use this as you like to. Storage was permanent, which means that if you lost power, your data should be safe. And we wanted to make sure that it was rugged and dust resistant. Some features of the hardware. Actually, there's a workshop after this presentation. I would go into more details about the implementation there. But I'm just highlighting some of the differences from the original platform. What we did was really create multiple platforms. We had a lower cost platform, which could be deployed in places where cost was a very important factor. We also built a higher cost or higher capability platform, which would suit maybe business requirements and government. So the range that we really have is that we have a device which begins at 16 MB of RAM and 8 MB of flash, and goes all the way up to 64 MB of RAM and 96 MB of flash. Okay. Those marked in yellow are really the modifications to the original computer specification. We built in a color panel. We brought the mic and speaker internal to the device. We put in a compact flash adapter. And one more modification that we did was to put in VGA TV output. The primary reason for this was the adult education market, where people wanted to be able to take their device, go to the village, plug into a TV, and address a group of 30, 40 adults, basically train them about different aspects of growing their crops or whatever is it that some of the some people wanted to do. These are some of the areas that we actually deployed in. There are really three areas. One is in bridging the digital divide, where primary area where we've deployed right now is in microcredit. There is work right now going on in adult education. But it's not just in the digital divide that we were active. We had to make sure that the product is continually successful. There are people who are using it. Otherwise, it would just be an also-ran. We spread our options to government, where government is today using it for, police is using it for traffic fines. Utility billing like electricity, water. It's basically a device that somebody can carry with him. One use is the digital divide. There are other uses too. Okay. Businesses actually took it up quite a bit. And people are using this computer to deploy loyalty programs. These are stores that are using it. There is a mine in Goa which is really using it to track shipments of ore. So these are some of the different application areas that the computer has really got deployed. The objective started out, we wanted to make sure that we are able to take computing to the masses. But one of the key issues that we came up with was that also that we need to survive. We need to make sure that we're constantly making money and the platform continues to exist. Something else that really happened was application development. Okay. We started out building a platform that we made available for developers to take up and develop applications. But people were really coming to us for complete solutions. Okay. So the issue was that while we started out building a platform, we also need to develop the application. And that's really where we got into developing the application. And that's what has had a little bit of a slowdown on the uptake of the computer. The outcome of our modifications, basically the New York Times called it one of the largest innovations in the year 2001. Some of the road ahead for the computer itself, for us it's focus on solutions. We want to make sure that it's being used for real world applications, real solutions. Okay. And for that, we're really looking, while we started out with the platform, what we're looking at is to be able to provide complete solutions. And this is where we're looking for help. Another thing is because our application base, our application capability was not as strong as we would have liked it to be, what we are doing today is with the newer Simputer launch, which is really going to happen sometime next month, we have a new modified Simputer. Along the way, we are also launching an open source website, and we are looking for contribution from people who will help take these applications that areas that have been identified, and build applications for them. We're working on multiple computer variants. Now, there are requirements of integration with the GPS. There are requirements of working with wireless, long-range wireless. And these are areas where people are looking for solutions. So the outcome for us has been that we started out building an open platform. And what we need right now is applications, and what we need is to be able to take this platform out in the market. Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
So maybe you can show it also to the public so you see it.
I should have done that. Actually, at the workshop later, you could come and maybe play with a couple of them. I've got both the color and the monochrome models with me. I'd invite you to come and take a look.
Yeah, Samir, thanks. I have a very simple question, which is really geared around the cost of ownership of such technologies and the distribution of such technologies into other countries outside India. I mean, what are your base costs and what is the likelihood of you know, getting that kind of technology distributed at affordable prices? We need to sort of get a basic idea of that.
Okay. While we started out, we were talking about a price of $200 per device. Now, what we need is really a minimum scale. We need to be able to have about 20,000, 30,000 units out in the market to really be able to reach that scale. Right now, it's being driven by people who have a need, who have an application that they want to take out there, people who are seeing monetary value in deploying this imputer. Okay. It's not yet at the scale that we could really deploy it at a much lower cost. Once we get that scale, we'll be able to drive the cost down by at least 40 to 50%. In terms of sheer capability, you've got a device which is the equivalent of a 400 megahertz Celeron PC. And it is portable. And it is approximately the cost of what you would pay for a new device out there. But